Suddenly, Tadeusz pitched forward face first, crashing to the ground beside her. Haditha stared down at his crumpled figure in astonishment. The back of his pale head was stained dark and wet. She turned to face the sound. To her horror, a man in night vision goggles and blackout gear loomed over her. The insectile figure stuck the thick muzzle of his sound-suppressed machine pistol against her sternum. Haditha recoiled, then simply collapsed, her dark almond eyes rolling up in her head. From high above the black-clad pair of assailants, a swarm of similarly equipped figures descended from above, swooping down in a mist of broken skylight glass like floating leaves in the autumn. Each man was equipped with a handheld tetrahertz radar unit, enabling him to see right through walls. This allowed the raiders to know precisely where every member of the Polish-Egyptian dig team was located. As more raiders continued to drop in from above, the pair who had taken down the first two targets spread out to secure the entryway. The rest moved in silent pairs from one cubicle to another, neutralizing members of the expedition team. The Nomex-clad intruders knew there was no escape from the large room ahead that poured light into the now secure pitch-black hallway. The big windows throughout the structure had all been bricked shut long ago. It would be the perfect killing floor. Anya snapped her head up from where she leaned close to the large flat-screen monitor.
What was that?
Probably just some homeless throwing bottles.
Despite her alarm, she had been ignored by most of the team members that surrounded her. Their attention was seized by a number of new images that were coming in from scrolls shipped intact to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, where layered MRI scans were used to extract the writing from within the rolled papyri. However, Ismail, who had entered just moments after the sound of the gong, turned and started back out the door into the darkened aisle.
Wait! You cannot come in here!
Get down!
Ismail staggered a step back into the lab. Anya had recently come to the conclusion that heavily armed men in Nomex and ski masks were not to be reasoned with. And as soon as Yaja caught a glimpse of the menacing attackers through the doorway, she seemed to realize the same. The young woman was already in motion, grabbing the blackened log papyri from the table and stuffing them in a large lime green and purple gym bag that was used to ferry bagged artifacts. Anya circled to her right, knowing instinctively that they were trapped. Her only hope to save any of the team was to get out of the immediate line of fire and hope to ambush the intruders as they entered. Her heart was pounding. They were too far ahead of her. Ismail reeled back into the center of the room, halting only as he slumped back against the observation table. The front of the man's white shirt was tie-dyed in florets of red. He pitched forward onto his face as a pair of men in black stepped through the door and then to opposite sides. They held two round machine pistols to their shoulders. The one to Anya's left fired a two-shot burst into Szczepan Pilatowski from 6 feet away. The man crashed to the floor. The second attacker aimed at Anya, but she had already reversed and began racing toward the far end of the room. Bullets knocked masonry dust from the raw wall behind her, ricocheting into the ceiling. Another black-clad killer appeared in the doorway, his muzzle pointed in Yaja's direction. Anya was some feet away, but just barely close enough to hit the young woman with a flying tackle, knocking her past the end of the long table on which the computer sat. The girl was stunned by the blow, but had the presence of mind to keep clutching the satchel of scrolls with both hands. The bullets punched into computer cases, destroying countless hours of hard work. They stood no more of a chance than the members of the expedition team that had completed the priceless trove of research findings and analysis. The stunned men and women had no means of fighting back and nowhere to flee. Leaving Yaja sprawled in the relative shelter between the end of the computer table and a bricked-up window in the end wall, Anya sprang up onto the table. The killers were moving into the room, fanning out to hunt down the last survivors as they made pitiful attempts to hide behind filing cabinets and under tables. An intruder raised his weapon to Anya, but she acted quick, grabbing and hurling the nearest computer case at him. It struck him in the goggles and knocked him backward against the wall. She turned back to the counter and tore the computer's monitor from the wall. It was an old-fashioned model and weighed a good 45 pounds. In anticipation, the man dropped his weapon and threw up his hands defensively. but he didn't make it on time. Anya hoisted it end over end at the stunned shooter, snapping his ulna. He went over backward with a crash. The other three men opened up on her, and she leapt from the table toward the side wall, but her foot came down on a power converter and flew right out from under her. Her head crashed into the wall. Her teeth clacked together painfully, and red sparks flew behind her eyes. Anya found herself splayed out on all fours, too dizzy to rise. She raised her head heavily towards the man in black aiming the machine pistol at her. The opening at the end of the muzzle looked big enough to swallow her whole. Anya was about to clench her eyes shut for the final time when a figure suddenly loomed up behind the killer. Before the gunman could fire, Shchepan Pilatovsky, his wide, pale face streaming blood, struck him from behind with a chair. The two intruders, still on their feet, opened fire from the far side of the room. Pilatovsky's legs gave way and he slumped to the floor. He was dead, but his final heroic act had not been in vain. The assailant that he'd clubbed lay sprawled on his face, a pool of dark red spreading out from his head. Anya dashed forward and yanked loose his MP5. Shouldering it, she came up to a crouch. The weapon's ghost ring sights were lined up almost perfectly on the shooter to her left. Anya ducked as the other man blazed away at her. More computer cases crashed as bullets punched through them, scrambling the delicate circuit boards inside. She rose up on all fours, still clutching the machine pistol, and dashed forward like a monkey across the prone body of the man Pilatovsky had hit. She turned around the long computer table and launched herself in a forward slide on her left side across the center aisle. Assuming the gunman's torso was encased in some kind of body armor, she chopped his legs out from under him. He fell to the ground, his mangled legs spattering blood as they kicked instinctively. Anya slid into the collapsed photo table and stopped. The machine pistol's charging handle locked back, empty. Bullets glanced off the concrete floor near her outspread legs and ricocheted around the room. Anya jumped to her feet and saw that the man she had thrown the computer into had found his feet, if not his firearm. Even knowing that she would be exposed to gunfire, she had no choice but to move fast. She dashed back across the aisle and vaulted the computer table. The man was staggering heavily towards Yaja. The young girl had her back against the wall and clutched the antiquity-filled satchel protectively. The intruder held a big, black, saw-backed knife in his hand. He sensed Anya behind him and spun, lashing out horizontally with his combat knife. He came up far too short, and Anya didn't even have to dodge. Before he could recover with a backstroke, she sprang like an angry leopard and closed with him. She grabbed him by the biceps of his knife arm and his left shoulder. A grenade rolled down the aisle into the middle of the lab. Anya was out of time. She stepped past the black-clad assassin like a dancer leading her partner, then shoved him toward the back of the room with all her strength. The beast of a man hit the sealed-off window with his full weight, sending the bricks exploding outward into the humid Alexandrian night. Grabbing the motionless Yaja around her narrow waist, Anya lurched with the young woman to the window and leapt out through the hole in the wall. The grenade's detonation filled the lab behind the women with fire, shrapnel, and smoke. Anya had landed painfully on the jagged gravel of the alley behind the building, her right ankle buckling, but luckily not quite far enough to sprain. Yaja had a look of pure shock on her face, though not quite scared.
What are you doing? Put me down!
Ugh. The two women were in a space 10 feet wide between the warehouse and the next building. The bright lights of the docks beckoned in one direction from a long block away. A glance over the shoulder revealed only dark the other way, making an easy choice. Since the hunters had night vision equipment, the better lit path offered her equal visibility to her pursuers and the possibility, however slight, of being spotted by witnesses. Yaja was sitting up straight, rubbing grit out of her hair and scowling into the darkness.
Come on!
Anya grabbed Yaja's arm and started running. The younger woman scrambled in her wake, still clutching the satchel tight. To her terror, Anya reached the alley's end only to find a dark figure looming before her. The bizarre shape of the head silhouetted against the silvery glare told her all she needed to know. Letting go of Yaja's wrist, she sprinted the last few yards at her top speed and launched into the air just as the inevitable machine pistol came up. Her right leg pistoned out in a flying sidekick. the objective tube of the night vision goggles marking her target. Her foot snapped the gunman's neck as if he'd been hit in the face with a pile driver. Anya landed beyond the body, out on the rubble field, and did a quick scan of her surroundings. The inflatable tent over the excavation site was ahead and to her right. Knowing that there were no exits from the headquarters but the front entrance, the intruders logically hadn't bothered to leave more than one man on guard outside. Anya stood drawing in huge breaths of thick Mediterranean air. Anya spun around towards the approaching footsteps. Luckily, it was Yaja, teetering toward her with blue eyes opened wide.
What the hell?
All I know is that I'm scared, pissed off, and alive. And most of all, I'm damned determined to stay alive. If you have the same idea, come with me and save your questions for later.
Yaja swiveled her pigtailed head from side to side as she and Anya Creed walked down a street full of hulking trucks. The narrow lane ran between big dark warehouse walls near the Western Harbor wharves. Not even a geologist could have identified whether the street was actual cobblestone or just decrepit pavement. They passed through a spill of light from an amber-lit cavern of a warehouse. Rough-looking men in badly stained coveralls stood around the entrance, smoking silently, while a skinny young man, probably just a boy, dressed in a black t-shirt and baggy cotton shorts, reeled in a big hose. The smell of fish was almost overwhelming. The men stared suspiciously as the pair of Western women came into view, one dressed scandalously, even by the standards of cosmopolitan Alexandria. Anya smiled widely and nodded at the startled male faces and gave an extra hard tug at Yaja's wrist. The younger woman followed her none too gentle insistence without protest. For a language prodigy, Yaja had maintained a particularly heavy silence. Anya led them west along the waterfront and through the Greek quarter, finally passing into the city's west side. She stayed alert, but saw no sign that they were being tailed. When she was finally convinced of her safety, she circled back the long way toward her hotel. Even as they walked up, she still needed to steer Yaja by the arm. The younger woman looked up, surveying the building.
Why are we here?
I thought I'd grab my gear.
But won't they know to look for us here?
I'm betting the men who attacked us back there are either unaware of my existence or haven't identified me yet. Your team roster is available on the web, but luckily for both of us, my name isn't on it.
Even though it was unlikely someone was looking for her, it was possible that someone had spotted her while conducting reconnaissance at the dig site. Anya wanted to get in and out before anything else could go wrong. She would gather her things, duck out of the hotel, shake anybody trying to tail them, and then head for a new place to hole up for the night. She wasn't that attached to the belongings she had brought. She always made a point of traveling light, and nowadays she always packed with the expectation that she might have to leave everything behind for survival's sake. Even her laptop was relatively cheap and contained no information that could easily be used against her. Still, it would be convenient to have her things. She reckoned that at the very least she could throw some of her own clothes on her new companion, no matter how poorly they fit. It would be just as much in Anya's favor as Yaja's for the younger woman to be dressed in a less conspicuous manner. For now, Yaja didn't look like she'd be asking any questions. She stood rocking back and forth on her heels and chewing on her lower lip.
Let's go. Keep an eye out for anybody suspicious.
Okay.